Well, hello and welcome back to this kind of exclusive question with Andy Dean. I am really excited because we've learned a lot so far. We just finished the podcast. And so I've actually been kind of racking my brain and trying to figure out what I do want to ask you. I think actually I want to ask you a bit about your creative process. Okay. I want to ask when you go about creating a new effect or even just creating an effective routine, where does that start and what do you think is most important?
Depending on what the routine's for, will depend on sort of my process with it all. If it's for performance style, sort of going out and performing, it will be the sort of the energy of the effect and sort of how I can get laughs in there as well. So normally I have some sort of bass effect or something I've seen and gone, that suits my style. And then I'll normally sit down. I will write the different elements down of the effect. So I'm currently doing it for an aeroplane effect at the moment. So I've got the bass effect and then I sit down and I write, right, okay, the elements are, so they've got to pick a plane ticket. Is there anything I can sort of get in about the plane ticket? But then I go off and I go, right, okay, plane ticket. So you've got gags about seats. You've got gags about the aeroplanes, aeroplane food, aeroplane going into the airport itself. And what I do is I write lots and lots and lots about all the different components of the effect. Then I dwindle it down and just take out the best bits. So that's the scripting side of it. Then performance style, I will work through the routine and then I will strip out anything I don't need. So if the routine calls for a pass or something like that, I will strip out as much of the movements as possible. So instead of doing a pass, if I can put a short corner in or a crimp or something like that, I'll do that and do just a single hand cut. So again, my emphasis is more on the performance and the experience rather than trying to do the techniques. If I'm working on a card routine or like a gambling demonstration or to put into a lecture or something like that, I try and get as many magical beats in as possible. So rather than trying to do a 5-minute routine where you have maybe just one reveal at the end, I try and put in two or three different reveals or different magic moments, or, you know, even if it's just having a card signed, then vanishing the pen or making the pen appear, or, you know, the box. So the box disappears and then reappears on the table. So it's not just sort of the one effect. I try and make the process more magical by just adding little bits in all the time. Which we would do if we could do real magic.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. Long-winded answer to a
it's a very like complex question. So honestly, getting that in 3 minutes is pretty impressive.
And I don't think I'd have one set sort of creation process. I could be out and I could see something and go, oh, that's amazing. I could use that. I saw some telescopic foam fingers. And I thought that'd be amazing. I could do a cards across. I mean, I saw something years ago by Michael Kloss, and he used to have like a little hand-shaped eraser on the top of a pencil, and he'd use that. But I thought with the telescopic, when we get back to it, if we're still social distancing, I could get like 2 meters apart and do a cards across with that, and it'd be funny. And doing it that way. So even just sometimes it might be just a prop that I see and go, I could use that. How could I build that into a routine? And it's just using it then, because there's nothing finer than trying it out in front of an audience to know whether a routine works.
Right. So if I can, you start with the base idea of like what would be great, like what do I want to basically create?
Yeah.
Like what do I want my audience to see?
So I either start with a base thing, which is either a prop, a magic effect, or even a gag sometimes. I hear a gag and go, oh, that's amazing. How can I get that into a routine? What do I need to do? Yeah. You see, I came up with a gag I do a Torn and Restored card to envelope, and they can choose any envelope they want. And I fool magicians with this because they think I'm forcing them, but they genuinely can choose any envelope. And I'll say, which envelope do you want? And I've got two in my hands. I said, do you want my right or your left? And it's the same because they go, some people laugh and get it. Other people go, oh. But it fools magicians because they think, well, he's forcing me there, but it genuinely doesn't matter. And I think sometimes with what we do as regards magicians, we're always looking for that little, oh, he always forced me there. And then you try and work back. Whereas, you know, I mean, with the Torn and Restored, I'm not hiding any pieces, right? Everything's self-contained. But that's come from my actual stage act. Because, again, I don't want to be holding pieces out or, you know, because he can choose any envelope. I don't want to be looking at the corners of the cards to go, have I got the right corner? So it's all self-contained and it's all done very visual and it's all... So as I'm showing them the envelopes, I'm looking at the corners that are stuck in the envelopes. So everything's done sort of for my ease and my convenience and to give them the best sort of... There's never a chance for them to go, oh, that hand looks a bit funny or that. So sometimes looking at yourself and going, right, that why am I holding my arm that way? Because I've got to hide something. Whereas I try and make it as natural as possible with everything I do.
Right, so everything's motivated, properly motivated.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's cool. So, yeah, so start with a gag or a... Yeah, or a trick or just anything that you want to think and then go from there and just kind of work backwards and embellishing it at every step is kind of what I'm getting.
I tend to work with a sort of spider graph. So put whatever you've got in the middle, write the word in the middle. So let's say you want to do a trick with a phone. So you write phone in the middle and then I shoot off. So you can ring people, you can take pictures, you can do this, that, and the other. Right, okay, well, if you take pictures, you can edit the pictures. And what can we do around the pictures? We can have video. So you've got video and auditory. So can we do a video and then change the audio? And by the time you've done all that, you've got lots of information. Where if I said to you, do a trick with a phone, you'd go, oh, okay, I'll make it disappear. Right. Whereas if you said, right, I've got a phone, what can I do with a phone? Right, well, I could have a text message received or I could have text message sent, or you can have a look at your social media. So you're not just using the phone as the thing to make the magic with. You could use a process in the phone to actually use part of the magic. So you are using the phone for magic, but not in the way that you would assume straight away. If that makes any sense. So the more information you get about one thing, the more, because you might come up with something that you might not have even thought of with regards to, you know, I don't know, let's say a spoon bend. If you're doing a spoon bend. So what can we do with a spoon? Well, it's made out of metal. Okay. So we could use a magnet. So we could use that magnet to attach it to something else. So you could actually, you know, weld two spoons together. Well, if I weld two spoons together, could I not super glue them and then have somebody try and pull them apart? And if I do that, then could I stretch an end of a spoon? So they're trying to pull them apart and then I switch them and I pull one instead of pulling apart, they'd stretch. So rather than doing a spoon bend, I'm now doing a stretching spoon and then I could do a bend. So I've now got a really long spoon that's now bent in the middle. And so all these things, and it changes over time. So rather than just doing a regular spoon bend, I've now got a spoon that stretches and it glues together, and you know, so that's the process. And I'm not saying it works every time. There's been occasions I've spent hours and hours and hours on something and then gone, right, I just can't get anything out of it. And I think that's as important as well, knowing when to stop on a project and go, I've taken it as far as I can. Before it sort of goes, right, okay, well, I've got to move on to something else.
Yeah, I like that. Well, thank you so much. I think that's all right. Been a great answer, and I guess we'll close up this little exclusive segment here. Thank you so much, Andy.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.